Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show. Just a couple of announcements here, programming-wise, before we get into it. It is Election Day, so we hope that you have cast your ballot or are about to cast your ballot. It's best to drop it off today. If you drop it off, you might not get a postmark that will get you in to this current election. I think we were at 27% this morning of registered voters. So, Josephine County, let's vote this morning. And you can hear your vote count here this evening on KAJO Radio. We'll be live at the courthouse about 7:30 and at 8 o'clock to bring you the latest results. We'll get stories up on the website here and at least one more report about 8:30 tonight. That's our plan right now. Should anything else pop up, we will share that with you. But that's our plan to cover the election tonight, courtesy of our good friends here throughout our sponsorship realm, and we wish that you would thank them any chance that you get. Now, because all our resources have been devoted to covering this election, we will not be able to cover the Grants Pass Cavemen basketball game tonight. They are en route to Bend, Oregon, to play Summit High School. Should be a big challenge for the Cavemen, but we'll just say, go Cavemen, our thoughts are with you, and we'll count your votes tonight. In the meantime, do we have any projections on how that will come out tonight? I really don't. It might be very close. In fact, we might not know tonight, depending on how close it really is, but stay tuned for more information there. In the meantime, though, it is the first Tuesday of the year, as a matter of fact, first Tuesday of the month. That's Mean City Council. We had scheduled the mayor in today, but he is under the weather. But replacing him is Rob Bell, and along with them is Indra Nicholas. And gentlemen and lady, thank you very much for coming. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for having us again, Chuck.
Oh, well, it's turned into the Rob and Indra show here, isn't it? This is 2 months in a row, is it not?
We're coming next month.
Oh, well, we'll negotiate that contract. In the meantime, as city councilors, we have a fresh slate right now looking ahead. We have a brand new year in front of us. I don't know if goals have been set, but I know that we do have some strategic planning sessions planned ahead. Anything on your minds as you head into that? I think that's, what, scheduled the 15th of this month, 15th and 16th. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Any thoughts?
Well, I guess I'll start. I would just like to have a better year on council. I think most people who are engaged know what I'm talking about. I'm looking forward to the new year. I'm looking forward to the election of a new council president. We have goals. Chuck, I'm just surprised at how long everything takes. So when I look back on the year and things we talked about never get scheduled or they're pushed on and suddenly you're into the new year with things you wanted to do, but you never got the opportunity to do. So I'm learning about how government works and how slow it is. And one of my big goals this year is really to get economic growth in our town, to really help our small businesses. So we've got the Small Business Task Force we're going to be talking about here at the end of the month. And I'm hoping to get some interested business owners involved, and how can we really help our small businesses and grow their revenue, help them to succeed and help get revenue for our city. So that's one of my big goals this year.
All right. Well, Rob, you want to weigh in? Have any specific goals or thoughts about coming into the new year for the city council?
Well, I think that council needs to really get have a little bit more clear vision as to what it means. Last year, let me backtrack. Last year, council gave staff direction to hire 12 more public safety employees. I think it was 6 on the fire side and 6 on the police side. And it wasn't, council did not give direction to say, we want our individual police or firemen necessarily to, have higher salaries, but we did want to give the police and fire chief more manpower, more boots on the ground that they've been requesting for a couple of years now. And we did that. We gave that direction, and that is in process. I think some of the firemen may have already been hired, and I know that the recruitment process for the police is ongoing. But I think that council also needs to look at, as does the finance director and the budget director, who's also the city manager, we really need to look at what it's going to cost us to, after onboarding these 12 public safety employees, what that costs us in years 2, 3, 4, 5, and beyond, because, frankly, we don't really have a plan for that. And it's really not, we took a big undertaking there, mm-hmm. and we gave a lot of direction without a clear plan, without vision. And that we did set our priority and let staff know what our priority was to give the chiefs the extra manpower, but we need to go back now and figure out how we're going to we have a kind of an idea of how we're going to pay for that in the first year or two, but we need a long-term plan.
All right. Is that something that you can address in the coming meetings?
Well, hopefully. If we can't do it, then nobody's coming from anywhere else to do it for us. So, and I don't know about the coming meetings, but certainly as we move into the budget process, that would be a major part of that, I would imagine. But it's going to take everybody's both vision and willpower to make something happen, because we either have to come up with economies and or major budget cuts, mm-hmm. or ways to increase revenues. So those are both always really difficult topics.
Are either one of you looking to be the president of the council?
I'm not. I think Rob would be great. He's considering it, I believe, but I think we do need a very experienced, knowledgeable person. I would not go for anyone who wasn't a veteran council member, like no more new people. And so that leaves three, and I think Rob would be really great at it, because he speaks out on any topic and is not afraid to do so. And I think he would give great leadership.
Rob, you've been put on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Andrea. In years past, I didn't want to do it. We had a little bit of a different structure. We had four workshops a month, and we had two agenda setting meetings a month, and I didn't really see myself spending that much additional time at City Hall. But the way Mayor Scherf has organized things, I guess we could say it's more streamlined, and there's two workshops a month and only one agenda setting meeting a month. So to do the main responsibility of council president in the agenda setting meetings, I would be able to get that into my schedule this year if the other councilors wanted me to do it.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. And that's coming. Will it come up? What's the date?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. And yeah. I will add that if you go by what the public is saying, they're pushing for Rob to be council president. So yeah. That's kind of fun.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. Rest assured. Let's see. What else is on your agenda right now? We've got the meetings coming up on the 15th. That's the goal setting meeting, or the agenda. That's the strategic planning meeting. I mean, what else will you be dealing with in that meeting? You're talking about economic development. Is that going to be one of the main topics?
I think a main topic. Yes, I hope so. We need that. There's also talk about, I think, decorum and how we can work together. So I just hope that that's productive. I'm not against it, but I don't want it to be just fluff stuff. I really hope we can have a serious conversation amongst ourselves and come out to a solution on how we can work together, because we're obviously not really working together very well. And I think things need to change. It looks bad in public.
The council also seems to be split almost in half.
Yes, but just because you're split with your thoughts or different ideas or opinions doesn't mean you have to be rude or attack people or go after people or totally discount what someone else says. I think the most important thing is being open to what other people say. So when you come into meetings, you don't just have a thing in your mind that you're going to go for no matter what anyone says, and that you're open to hear what other counselors say. I think that's really important, and I think that's been lacking.
Rob, strategic planning coming up.
Well, yeah, I'd like to just continue with what Andrew started there, is that I know in years past, there were several counselors that I voted differently from often, sometimes even for years. But I also spent a good amount of time on the phone with them and trying to understand their position. Maybe they had a lot more experience than me in a given area. I know, like, we had Councillor Fazer, who was a developer and into construction and so forth, and he had a really good insight into the development community and the challenges that they faced. And so while we voted differently very often, I always appreciated when either he would call me or I would call him, especially when he was council president. He would reach out and call me, and we would discuss things, whether we agreed or not. But I like learning from people that know more on a given subject than I know, because, face it, I mean, I'm a volunteer. I'm 1/8 of the council, and there's some subjects I don't know a lot about. So same thing with Valerie Lovelace. She had so much experience up and down the valley. She and I disagreed on a lot, but she had a lot of experience. So, you know, when she would call, it was always instructive one way or the other, you know, either or maybe both. She would learn from me. I would learn from her. So that hopefully that would go that would be two major steps, I think, towards possibly being able to work together a little bit better next year. You know, then there's the philosophical aspect too of, you know, after you have a vote, does everyone pull together in the same direction, and to what degree? Or you know, is it healthy for people to maintain different views after that point? And that's philosophical. I mean, there's really good examples of both ways of looking at that as being valid. So, but as far as strategic planning goes, I would hope, well, I'm definitely going to bring up, and I'm sure I'm not going to be the only one, long-term public safety funding, critical, you know, because the council for years and the public for years has said that's our most important, or certainly one of our most important priorities. Well, we don't have, right now, the finance director, the manager, and council are all kind of wringing our hands thinking, where is the money going to come from in years 2, 3, and 4 for these 12 employees? That's important.
Yeah, it's interesting because at the meetings, we're always spending money, as you know. And so we never really look at, they tell us where the money can come from, and it's always there. But we know it's not always going to be there. And so we very likely will need to make some budget cuts or some big decisions this year, because the public does want public safety. That's part of what the city needs to put a focus on and priority. And as a council, we've decided that. So we can't keep digging into our reserves for everything.
Right. What about your personal goals for the city and forecast for the 2026?
My personal goals?
Yes.
My personal goals are to be less emotional. We've talked about this, about decisions. As Rob said, I'm 1/8 of the council. It's hard. It's a roller coaster, Chuck, because you might be very passionate about something, and you go in and you're one vote, and it goes doesn't go your way. And so it's really hard for me to sometimes to get past the emotion of it. So that's my personal goal to work on, is to keep a little distance, because it's not healthy to get upset or over decisions you don't have control over, really.
All right, forecast for 2026. Indra?
Forecast?
Yeah, for the year.
Oh, as far as
the city's concerned.
Oh, I did want to bring up, we're going to be working a lot on the Washington campus at Midland and Washington, that property. And so I'm hoping to see some movement on that this year. We've hired a consultant to put together some ideas for us. But that piece of land has been sitting there a long time.
It's been vacant a long time.
Yes. And so we're looking at what can we put there. And so that's an exciting thing I think we'll see begin to blossom this year.
All right. Rob, forecast and goals for 2026.
Well, to continue with what Andrew was just saying, that Washington Midland campus has been on my radar for over 5 years. And before I was on council this time around, I actually communicated with the council back in 2019 or 20 about that property. And I know when I got on council, we had the city reach out to the property owners, and at that time they weren't ready to sell. So now that we have control of that property, Originally, and probably still now, we're many thousands of housing units probably behind what our town really needs. Originally, that property was looked at as some kind of housing project, whether it would be market rate or whether that would be kind of a middle income thing or maybe a mix, which is likely. But that's been on my radar for 5 years, you know, because right now it also brings in no tax money. It hasn't for a long time because a nonprofit owned it. So there's a lot of flexibility there as to what kind of incentivization the council can offer a developer there, because again, it's bringing in no tax dollars now. So there's a lot of different ways that we can be flexible there. But you know, when I've spoken to probably the preeminent civil engineer in possibly Southern Oregon, but certainly in Josephine County, he pointed out to me, and I was asking him about that property and what his thoughts were, and he pointed out, well, all over Grants Pass, we've got vacancies in office space and commercial buildings, so it probably may not make a lot of sense to have too much mixed use up there, meaning commercial and housing mm-hmm. blended, because we've already got tons of vacancies all over town, but housing we know we absolutely need. So to me, hopefully, I would imagine a consultant would be all over that and understand that, and his surveys and or their surveys and things would show that. So whatever we need, but right now it appears to me and appears to those who are kind of in the development community that we don't need a lot more commercial or office space right now.
All right. For that particular property, though, we've got the consultant hired. What do we expect to hear, or when do we expect to hear from them for their ideas or them pointing out a direction? Do we have a line drawn in the sand? Like you said, well, it's been there for 5 years.
Well, the property's been there a lot longer than that and vacant. We're not going to hear, I think, their ideas yet, but I think what we're expecting is they will probably be reaching out and create surveys that they feel will be really helpful and representative, because this is what they do. This is what a development team like that does, is they first gauge what the community needs. So they're going to be looking at all the aspects that I mentioned, and I'm sure a lot more, and they'll also be figuring out verbiage for surveys to figure out really what would fit there, as you know, what the community needs and what the community wants. And that would be the first step. And then the second, I would imagine, and then the second step is probably a general, you know, 30,000 foot overview as to what could be put there. And how long those two processes take, I'm not sure. Maybe within this year. I would hope within this year. But as Indra said, you know, the speed of government can be really slow.
Going at that government gate.
Yeah. We would be remiss also to not mention Elk Island Village. And that should make big steps this year. So it's not been on my mind as much because they've been working behind the scenes, starting to get it ready and get things together. But that's a really exciting thing that's happening, and looking forward to closing those camps on 6th Street and 7th Street. And so that will be worked on. I think the deadline's June 1st complete. So it seems to be going along smoothly. I'm checking in every now and then with that. But that's a huge thing for our community.
Yeah, it's hard to see progress from just driving by. So I'm assuming that the progress is ongoing with the village.
Right. They closed escrow with the property, so now they're looking at doing the infrastructure and starting that process. So people should start to see things happening there pretty soon.
And what I find exciting about that is, no matter what side of the aisle, no matter what your view on homeless and the amount of help that a city should provide for homeless, I mean, either if you are if you feel that we need to be serving the homeless community in a more constructive way, that's going to be happening there. But even if you just want to see the camps that are on 6th and 7th Street closed, everybody should see a win of some sort here. And we're not planning on ongoing financial support for direct from the city coffers. We're not planning on that. So this should be a win-win for everyone in the city. And I would hope that most people could possibly put political allegiances behind them and look at the fact that 50% of the city is going to be kind of happy with one part of it, and another 50% is going to be happy with another part of it. And we can look at this as a positive as we move forward.
It's not an ultimate victory, but it is a great first step.
It is a great first step. And I would add to that, what if you want more than that or something different? There's nothing saying a group or community mm-hmm. members can't get together and do something more or something different that doesn't include taxpayer dollars. So I would encourage people to really get behind this, help out, and do more if that's what they want. If they're not happy with the outcome of this, do something different.
You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll continue right after this word. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. City Council represented by Congressman Rob Pell and Indra Nicholas. Once again, thank you very much for joining us in this first New Year program. Glad to have you with us as we talk about the future for Grants Pass and what needs to be done in the long term and in the short term. Indra, you're talking about some of the things for economic development for the mm-hmm. city here and pulling all of the small businesses together in a task force. What's the progress there, and what is a long-term goal, and what kind of reception are you receiving?
We're going to talk about that, I believe, at an upcoming meeting, maybe our next meeting. I think the ultimate goal is just for me to we don't hear from many business owners, and I think, I don't know why, if they don't come forward or engage really with council, don't get too many emails. What's working for business? What's not? I know there's a lot of increased costs because I own a business. Rob owns a business. There have been so many increased costs over the last just couple, 3 years with businesses, making it really hard. So is there a way the city can help with that? As far as is the city adding burdens to businesses that doesn't need to be there? Because my thinking philosophy is that if you let businesses run, if you don't take their money, they're free to spend how they want, and they will grow spend money on other businesses. And if you don't take residents' money, capitalism and free market is my philosophy. So let the people keep the money, let the businesses keep the money. And I think that's how we grow. And what else? Are there businesses that want to expand but can't because of development codes? There is a task force working on that. So are there things the city can do? I know it's a struggle. Just look out there right now. And so I'm looking for the task force to be a more intimate group that's not afraid to talk about what's needed. I think sometimes people are afraid of retribution or reprisal for saying things or coming forward. So maybe it can be an honest, open discussion. And maybe there's nothing the city can do different. But I believe there is, and I'd like to hear some ideas on how.
Rob, as a businessman, what's the city doing to you that could make business easier?
Well, you know, it sounds, you know, really, really simplistic. But the city has a program for surveillance cameras and things like that, financial help for surveillance cameras for the fronts of businesses and things of that nature. But just recently, I think it was last month, we've got a potential program now coming up to be able to, for the city to either help financially or pay for completely surveillance cameras for alleys and things of that nature. Because, you know, and in some of the cameras that we've seen that have been privately financed, every night you've got people between 2 and 4 in the morning who check. You know, I'm talking about bad guys who come and check every back door in the alley. They, you know, will take anything that's not nailed down, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's really minor things, but if you're a small business owner on a tight budget, especially on your work schedule is really tight, you don't need in any given day to take out 1 to 3 hours of your day working with graffiti or dealing with something that's been damaged by vandalism. So the most minor, like I say, it's very simplistic, but the more help we can get in small areas like that, relatively low dollar burden to the city, but that's the kind of thing I think that business owners would absolutely appreciate, and that way we have video evidence to go to the police with. And often we had an issue in the back of my business recently, where within just a matter of a few hours, we had a graffiti situation. We identified the person. We knew where they stayed, and action was taken within a few hours. And that was without even the police being involved, because we had some privately funded cameras. But I think that's just a no-brainer, quite frankly, especially in the alleys that tend to be dark. And I'm not a big surveillance state person, you know, as far as surveillance every step you take everywhere all over town. But certainly in places where, we'll say, bad guys tend to congregate or tend to exploit, more cameras would be great. It's minor, but that could be helpful.
There you go. It's Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. We'll ask that you get your phones ready, because we'll take your phone calls after the top of the hour news. That's coming up momentarily. You want to jot the phone number down. It's 541-472-1270. And we'll let you air your questions or comments to our guests directly. You're listening once again to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
Kick off your Row Motors.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show. Lines are open at 472-1270. The number to call. I believe we've got somebody standing by right now to get things underway. And you can air your question or comment to our guest. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And we have someone standing by right now, so let's just get that program underway right now. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guest this morning?
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
So regarding the cameras, the police don't have the manpower to go after people they find on the cameras, and I run into that at my own business. And so there's no use in putting up cameras if the police aren't going to go after the people.
All right. You want to respond to that? We do have new officers coming online soon.
Absolutely. And, you know, we had heard from Chief Hensman that, you know, his people go from call to call to call, and they're, you know, really kind of maxed out. And there were things that they, weren't able to prioritize. And I have to say that the day that the council decided to add six more police officers and six more firefighters, when I was leaving council chambers that day, both the police and fire chief seemed very pleased, and I was thinking, it's good that you guys are pleased today, but guess what? Next year, you know, especially on the police side, everybody's going to be holding the police chief more accountable, because we're giving them more manpower, and hopefully they'll be able to prioritize some of the lower level crimes that are really annoyances and really impact people's quality of life and business owners' time allocation. So I hear exactly what you're saying, and to some degree, hopefully we can move past that, and the police will actually be able to do more of what the public wants to see done.
Kendra, do you want to weigh in on that one?
Yes, that's exactly right. A major goal with increasing police is to tackle those low-level crimes, which decrease our quality of life. And I'm thinking we do have community service officers. Maybe there's something we can do that's not an officer taking them off the beat, but that can be the person that's in charge of just downtown and monitoring the cameras and helping downtown businesses keep things lawful down there. So I think there are a lot of things we can do to help businesses with this, and we need to start. That's a big goal of council. That's why council prioritized public safety.
All right. Does that help? Do you have any other questions?
Well, even when there's a car accident, unless it's blocking the road or somebody's hurt, the police don't respond to that either. I think they spend a lot of time on the homeless, and I don't know how many officers it's going to take to be able to cover other areas of things in town, but there needs to be like almost a restructuring.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and those are very fair observations. You know, while opening Parker's place to homeless shelter situation, while that is in no way, shape, or form going to solve our homeless problem or the United States homeless problem, I think that once we can close the resting sites on 6th and 7th, to a big degree, while it's not going to change everything right away, I think to a big degree, some of the police load is going to hopefully be mitigated. I think that while some will go down to maybe half might go down to Parker's place, I think there may be quite a few of the others that decide to move along. voluntarily when they don't really have a place, that an unstructured place where they can just do whatever they want. Once there's no unstructured, completely unstructured place like we have now, I think a lot of them will move along. So it's my hope that less police resources will be required to manage our homeless situation once we have a shelter in place. Again, the shelter is not going to solve the whole problem by any stretch, but again, hopefully it reduces the police manpower needed for that purpose.
I appreciate your
call. Well, it's going to cost our city more money if everybody's all spread out and we're chasing after cleaning up all the parks and the different areas that they go to than just keeping them in one area.
It's going to be a process, and I think we'll learn a lot as we go along and get better at doing what we're doing. But I just wanted to say I appreciate your feedback as a business owner. We don't always hear things from businesses, so I hope that you would think about applying for the task force when applications come out. Would love to have you on there.
All right.
There is retaliation when you speak up.
Yeah. So, trying to alleviate that.
Excuse me, ma'am. You said that they are in retaliation when you speak up. Do you want to say who they are?
It takes away from your business. I probably don't want to right now because I've already spoken up, and I'm losing business over it. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Should never happen. That should not be happening.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly true. Mm-hmm. Especially when you serve out there where the police need you, and you serve, but you can't complain. So. Mm-hmm. But I can talk to you at a different time when we're not on the radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Ma'am, we thank you very much for your call. Is there anything else?
No, but thank you for taking my call.
Certainly, anytime.
I'd like to add one more piece to that, and I know that not everyone has the same personality, but I've to some degree, or to a pretty vocal degree, been speaking up since about 2005. And I know that there's times when I've lost business and lost possibly friends because of that. I also know that there's a lot of people who really appreciate that I speak up. And when I used to be the primary person working my sales floor at my store, I probably interacted with 500 people a week. And I heard from a lot of people. So yes, there is a balance there. You don't want to go out of your way to create trouble, but by the same token, very often, sunshine's the best disinfectant. So, if you don't speak up, it's never gonna change.
We have a great community, but we've become split, and I would really like to see our community as a whole come together and not have these political divisions, because it's so sad when you have businesses in town that someone won't go to because someone has a political viewpoint that's spoken out. I think it hurts our whole community when people do that. So I hope really this year people really think about that and want to support every business in our community to succeed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio, and we'll continue right after this word. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. City Councilors Indra Nicholas and Rob Pell are in with us. And we've been talking about a lot of things today. And every time we get into something, it seems to come back to budget. We've got the budgeting process upcoming here soon. When does that start, and what kind of feedback do your councilors need when we get into this budget process? Rob, you want to start this one?
Well, basically, it starts really with our strategic plan, which we're doing in a couple of weeks. And so the staff gets to see what items and what concepts council wants to prioritize in the coming year. And then, of course, every one of those things has a price tag. So, that's kind of where it starts, is what does council want to do, and what kinds of things does council potentially want to spend money on? And then we get to the budget process. We've had a lot of people on the budget committee that frankly have a lot of intellectual horsepower, but they don't have a lot of input. The way it's set up now, there's not a lot of input on really any discretionary calls. you know, it's more double checking the figures and so forth. And I've seen a lot of really talented people drop off the budget committee because they didn't feel that they were having enough. It wasn't a good use of their time. They weren't having enough impact. And I know last year, for instance, there were several members of the budget committee who felt that they wanted to have a little bit more say or impact on whether or not raises for city employees for the non-bargaining group, will say, should be budgeted for. And they were told by the budget officer, well, that's not really your call. You know, you have to stay mute on that. That's a policy decision, and that'll be up to council later on. And then when we got to the council talking about that same raise issue, well, the city staff said, well, look at that. The money's there, so we can go ahead and do those if you want. Well, it was kind of interesting because, you know, it really needed, you know, half of the budget committee are city councilors. So we could have had a little bit more in-depth discussion on that during budget and allowed a little more input to allow the budget committee members some more long-term input as far as what's it going to look like if we were to give raises this year. Well, where's the money coming from in future years? And that really wasn't presented to the budget committee as something that we were asking for their help for. So it really needs, I think that we need to tap our people that have, again, the financial and intellectual capabilities to do a little bit more long-term planning, not just a year-to-year practically rubber stamp of our presented budget.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, quick question, and I'll let Indra weigh in, but have you served on the budget committee?
Well, every counselor does. Half the budget committee is made up of counselors. So
yes.
We've got eight citizens at large and eight budget committee members. So every year, counselors are there along with the eight citizens who have been chosen, presumably, for their financial acumen.
All right. Andrea, you want to weigh in on?
Yes, I agree. I traveled a lot last year during the budget committee meeting, so I wasn't really as involved as I wanted to be or should be. But I'm looking forward to getting very involved this year. We do need more long-term planning, and we need to learn more about the budget so we can move money around better and know where we want to spend it. And then, Chuck, can I also, there's a couple exciting new things that we talked about at the workshop yesterday, which is coming up. We talked about the Caregiver's Cottage at Riverside Park.
Can we hold on to that for just
sure.
a moment? Because we've got a call coming in right now.
Oh, perfect.
So let's take the caller and say good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests.
Yes, I do. Good morning. Good conversation you all are having this morning. I'm calling because there's been an ongoing conversation for over a year now regarding the city manager wanting a $40,000 annual raise, and that's still on the table, has not been resolved yet. And recently it was disclosed that a portion of his compensation package not disclosed in the past, which now his annual salary and benefit package compensation was listed recently in the Daily Courier at over $320. And since the city manager had hired a consultant professional for several thousand dollars to come in and come up with this grid scheme of raises, and that particular consultant had noted that the city manager was currently receiving
You're cutting in and out, and I'm not sure if you're aware of that right now, but we're not getting a good signal. I don't know if there's anything you can do on your end, Ward.
I turned my radio off. I don't know if that makes any difference or not. And I usually get a really good signal on my telephone.
You're better now. I don't know if there was a strange interference, but go ahead.
It could be my voice, too, Chuck. I'm kind of losing my voice.
Could you just go back and repeat the figures that you threw out, because it cut out when you offered cut out.
Yeah, so it was recently disclosed that the city manager's current salary and benefit compensation package exceeds $325,000 currently. Part of that had not been disclosed in the past for some reason due to oversights, quote, oversights. In any case, it's still on the table. There has been just an unbelievable amount of staff time that's gone into this, as well as pay tens of thousands of dollars to consultants and attorneys to justify this whole thing, to justify the raise. And I'm just wondering, sometimes the does public surveys, and I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to do a public survey as to what the public thinks, whether we're getting a good value from our city manager currently at $325,000 and that we should give him another $40,000 a year. And I say if the majority says yes, but the city does like to, you know, conduct surveys, and I think this would be a really legitimate one about you. Just with the questions is, do you see this as a good value for the taxpayers to pay him another $40,000, or do you think that money could be spent in some way with more public benefit? So that's my question to these two counselors this morning.
All right, thank you, Ward. I'm gonna pull you down right now because the phone is still cutting in and out, and I'm not sure the reason for that. But let me get a response from both of you. And I heard some chuckles over here.
Well, I think Ward's idea for a survey is it caused me to laugh. I don't imagine that's a survey that staff wants to see, but council might want to see a survey like that. You know, I was at the final meeting of the compensation task force on Friday. And they were gracious enough to come back to take one more swipe at it, just to try to help us, try to help the council. They've been appointed by council. Those are all citizens. There's not any professionals on that. And we are scheduling for January 20th to bring that discussion back. And I know that I'm still trying to get, finally, as of Friday, finally getting some of the final figures that were presented. I'm starting to get my head around what a way forward might be on this issue. And I'm not going to, on the radio, single out the city manager's pay, but I would say, you know, we're going to have discussion on that on January 20th, and please stay tuned.
Andrew?
I think we know what the public survey would say, so I don't think we need to waste money on that. But, yes, we need to get off this topic with city council and make a decision and move forward. It just took a long time to get our heads around what they were asking, what the issues were. It just took forever to get the information. But now I think we have a lot of it and we can make a decision. And then I wanted to make a correction. I was in home care a long time. I said caregiver's cottage. It's caretaker's cottage. So we're looking at how to preserve that historical building.
And we'll get to that as time permits. I've got one more phone call coming in right now. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for a guest.
Good morning. This is Kurt speaking. And I agree with that caller about taking a survey. If the city manager can't live on over $300,000, I think he better prioritize his expenses. Rob doesn't make that kind of money, neither does Ingrid. So these big paying jobs, that money needs to go toward police and fire safety instead of more salaries. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. All right. Any comments?
We've started our survey already.
I believe that people are voting right now. There's one topic that we've been trying to get to, and that's regarding the caretaker's cottage in Riverside Park. And we've been trying to figure out what to do with that for a long time, well, longer than the land at Midland in Washington has been vacant. We've been trying to figure out what to do with the caretaker's cottage, and it's been many things. What's the status now? Are we looking at turning it into a little motel room with yurts around it. What's the plan right now, and how did that develop, and where did that come from?
Yeah, that was the only plan that came forward, and we discussed that yesterday at the workshop. And so we're getting more information on that. I think it's promising. Everyone wants to preserve the building. The question is whether people want the yurts there too. But I think it'd be a good revenue stream for the city. I think it would be successful. So we're just getting more information on that at this point.
All right.
What was really fascinating to me yesterday at the workshop, and it wasn't made clear by staff, but it was made clear by Mr. Woodard when he spoke, because it's kind of was his proposal, is that almost all of the financial risk would be borne by him. The city would be, I guess, on the hook to put a new roof on that cottage and maybe paint or something on the siding. But the rest of the plan would be paid for by him, and he would then be renting that property, that small piece of property from the city. So it would be there would be an income stream involved, because otherwise, when you go to remodel a historic asset like that, as Mr. Woodard pointed out yesterday, unless you repurpose it, unless you come up with a current modern day purpose for it, it's just going to sit there, and people might look at it when they drive by. But you know, one time it had a purpose. It was the caretaker lived there with his family. Then it was briefly a police substation and so forth. But right now we don't really have a purpose for it. But he's proposing a purpose that could actually be an asset, a financial asset to the city. So it's definitely promising. There's a lot of things to work out, but the broad brushstrokes that he laid down yesterday, I think, sounded really, really promising.
I, for a long time, have tried to maintain my objectivity here, and I'm going to ask a question or two about this. And I really don't care one way or the other, but I know the caretaker's cottage has been there for a long, long time. But it doesn't appear to me to be an architectural anomaly or that would draw a lot of attention. It looks like pretty plain. I don't know how the bones are inside of it. Evidently, they're strong enough to consider remodeling it. But then I said we're going to put yurts around it in the park, and I'm not sure I'm with that right now. Would like to see more plans on that, but you know, it just struck me as a strange situation to put into Riverside Park when we're trying to keep the homeless out. Now we're putting in places for people to rent, and there would be a revenue stream coming out of that. I understand that. Just lots of questions still around that.
Those are all really, really good considerations, and those are, you know, because this has been before council for well over 2 years, I believe, and initially it was, yeah, does that structure have any architecturally really interesting or aspects that are really worth preserving? Great question, and we've been asking that. It does look pretty plain. The fact that it's in the National Register Historic Park, Riverside Park, and the fact that it actually had a role there kind of grandfathers it in as being historically relevant. But I hear what you're saying. And as far as the yurts go, you know, I've heard from some constituents, they thought, well, maybe if for roughly the same price, if the developer there could possibly make some kind of cabin or something that looked like it was conceptually tied to the architecture of that caretaker's cottage, maybe that would be more appropriate. So maybe that's another thing that we need to discuss. You know, does it need to look more consistent with whatever we put in there? And then, you know, is the fact that the developer in this case would be taking pretty much all the financial risk, to me is says a lot about his confidence that he can make it work. Now we just have to really see what the surrounding neighbors and people in general think. But yeah, looking back as far as how can you make a yurt look like it maybe should have fit there a little better. Maybe there's ways to, with different color schemes and so forth, or maybe it should be, maybe there's some different structures that would look more consistent with what's there now. I'm not sure, but those are all really good points.
All right, Andrew, briefly, your comments on this proposal.
I agree with Rob. One thing I look at is I think the more action you have in the park, the better overall it keeps problems away, I think. So the more events, the more people you have doing good things in the park and staying active, you have less problems, I think, overall. So That's what I kind of look at.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let your city councilors know what you'd like to see done with the caretaker's cottage in Riverside Park. We're over time right now. I'll give each about a minute to summarize what we talked about today and what you need to see coming forward. Edra.
I just want to say one other thing we talked about, which is a fun, awesome thing, is we talked about Reinhardt Park and what to do with the fly fishing pond. And it was decided we would look at maybe putting a natural garden there, which would be a great area for kids and families to go. So that's something really exciting that we're going to push forward with.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Rob, final comments.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on what Andrew said, the natural playground, I saw something like that over in Klamath, and it was fantastic. And I was there 3 days in a row. I didn't have any kids or grandkids with me, but it was really well attended, and the kids were having a blast on things that you don't see at normal or common playgrounds. So that was pretty exciting, and I really hope that we can get much more realistic about our budgeting in more of a long-term look rather than just looking at essentially, you know, putting out fires or you know, what we need this year. We need to really look a little bit more long-term on some really basic things like public safety.
All right. Counselors, thank you very much for your appearance today. Once again, Happy New Year. And to all of you, by all means, if you haven't yet, by all means, vote and listen tonight for your vote to count right here on KAJO Radio.